Our scripture for today is from the first chapter of Matthew. As we begin this first Sunday of Advent, we begin with the idea of why we have Advent. Beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I'm going to read verse 23 again. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Well, as the song goes, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I think the next line is, everywhere you go. But it's still November. It is the end of November. Today is the last day of November. On the other hand, today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. So today is the last, and today is the first. And given a choice, let's go with the idea of this being the first. All of that said, this is a beginning. The first day of 25 days. The first day of four Sundays. Those firsts of what we will observe as Advent. We have our traditions of Advent. The symbols and depictions of our celebration of this season of expectation and of remembrance. Such as we've just observed with the first lighting of one of the symbolic candles of Advent. And with each of the four Sundays leading to Christmas Day, each and all of the candles are points of light leading us to the lighting of the final candle, signaling the great miracle of God, the Christ candle, welcoming the birth of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. And we call him Lord because there is only one Lord. There's only one master of our lives. Well, what's in a name? Almost any name that you can speak aloud will immediately bring to mind something more, something other than the name and or the person that you have verbalized. Let's try a few. Let's see. Herod. Well, for me, that name Herod stands for cruelty. As I immediately think here, as we approach the birth of Christ, of Herod having all of the baby boys in Bethlehem killed, all under the age of two. The name Alexander, that being a great name. Well, you know, Alexander the Great. His name speaks to me of conquest. Beethoven. Obviously, that name calls up the thoughts of music. King Solomon, and Einstein. Didn't those two names make you immediately think of some special intelligence? But the name Judas makes us immediately think of treachery and betrayal. King Solomon, smart. Judas, not smart. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin. Lately, Kim Jong-un, Saddam Hussein. You know what those names stand for in the minds of most people, don't you? Mother Teresa and Billy Graham. Now, those names turn us around and head us in the right direction. You get the idea. Any of those names brings something to our minds beyond just a name, either negative or positive. And I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going next. There is a name that stands for much more than any of these, a name that stands alone. It's the name of the one whose birthday we celebrate on Christmas Day, and is the name we will devote the next 25 days, the next four Sundays, saying in anticipation, saying in expectation, saying in praise and adoration, the blessed name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, of course, bears several different names. His name is Jesus, and the word itself that Joseph was told to call him is a contraction of several words that put together mean Jehovah is helper. And with that idea, thus, the name of Jesus means Savior, Redeemer, Comforter, Friend, Helper in all of those ways. His name is Christ, which means the Anointed One. His name is Teacher, which suggests the source of truth. His name is Friend, Special Friend, meaning that he sticks closer to you than any other. But the name that is being used in this message today is Emmanuel, the name given by the angel that we've read of in our text in verses 20 through 23. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, this had been the centuries-old prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, and it's given in Matthew almost word for word. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But Matthew goes on to give the meaning of that name, God with us. That name, Emmanuel, still has that same meaning today. It means that God is intimately in touch with all of his creation, in touch right now, including in the creation, you and me. It doesn't simply mean that God is viewing us, just looking with interest, sort of like some detached observer. Intimately in touch means all of what the word with means. Right there, with us. So let me flesh that out even more. The name Emmanuel, God with us, is the way, is the only way God saves the sinner. Well, that would be you, me. The name Emmanuel enables God to be right there to comfort the distressed. And the name Emmanuel serves as a constant and ever-present inspiration for all of us who are the children of God. The name Emmanuel, God with us, tells us that God is intimately present not only in all the times of life, but also in the difficult time of death. Well, there's those things, but I'd like to give you a bit more about each of those ways that we can absolutely know by his name with us. With us, God with us. You never receive any blessing just by yourself. Amen. Amen. Emmanuel's there. Face any trial or tribulation. You never face that alone. Emmanuel. Or you don't even just glide along sort of aimlessly for a short while, doing nothing in particular, and by yourself, alone. None of these, never alone. And you know because of that name, Emmanuel, God with us, you know that. And so the first of those, Emmanuel, God with us, is the way God saves the sinner. Now, while it's true that not every sinner is lost, well, that's you and me, right? Okay. We're sinners, but we're not lost. We're rather saved by God's grace. But every lost sinner, the sinner who is not yet saved, one who is in despair, the depth of despair being the gnawing uncertainty of what life and death is really all about. You know, why am I here? What happens to me when I die? The absolute truth is that as he or she, that lost sinner, is apart from God, there is no hope. The Bible, the word of Christ himself, tells us that people become blessed when they hunger and thirst for righteousness. This hunger and thirst for righteousness is a hunger actually within all people, even when they are without Christ. And this is true because life without Christ is incomplete for anyone. A Christless life is one without a compass, or in more modern terms, without a GPS on your dashboard. It's an unhappy life, an unhappy life of straying feet and a condemning conscience. But the inborn image of God, we're all made in the image of God, that inborn image on the soul of the lost sinner cries out for rescue and for deliverance. And so there is the great news of the good news. Every lost sinner has a possible hope in that name, Emmanuel. God is with us, and the us means all of us, even the lost person. And the presence, the omnipresence of God, God everywhere and in all things, serves as a holy benchmark to show people in many and various ways that they are sinners, that they're lost and they're wandering without God being with them, without Emmanuel. Not only that, the omnipresence of God is always, always a brightly lit pathway. You know, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." It's a brightly lit pathway that leads people to the truth of the Christ-given salvation. When God became a person, the humanly observable Jesus, it was then that he was now with us all through those centuries, now with us, to pay by and through himself the supreme price for sinners' salvation. Emmanuel is the way God saves the sinner. Second, the name Emmanuel, God with us, enables God to be right there to comfort the distressed. When God in Jesus went at the outset of his preaching and teaching and healing ministry to the synagogue in Nazareth, as in Luke 4:18, he began with presenting himself as the messianic prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, as the one who had come to bring a whole new meaning to comforting. Isaiah 61 reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, That's comfort for the distressed. But you see, sorrow and comfort are universal. That kind of distress we all have sometimes is a common denominator. It's a ground leveler. And sooner or later, each person experiences some kind of grief-stricken sorrow in one way or another. The world is full of griefs and graves. And at times, the very air of earth seems heavy with woes and farewells. People of the world, all people of the world, are weary and heavy laden. Emmanuel invites all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, to know he can be, that he wants to be with us, as in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Emmanuel said that. But some are not listening. Too many people go about alleviating or trying to alleviate this sorrow in a number of other ways. Never really gets alleviated. They just kind of try to. They try withdrawing, isolating themselves from activity, from people and places and things. But that gives very little, if any, relief. Or they attempt to live in a fantasy world, trying to live out a dream of some future. They seek to use activity as a diversion of their inner distress. But these efforts always prove to be futile, for they are not the realities of life as God has designed it. In the person Jesus Christ, Emmanuel by name, there and only there is real comfort. His presence provides the reality of compassion. His presence gives comfort, and he has the desire and the will to comfort. Emmanuel enables God to be right there to comfort the distressed. Third, the name Emmanuel, God with us, serves as a constant, as an ever-present inspiration for all of those of us who are children of God. Servants of God need inspiration, need encouragement. To even the most casual of observers, the broad highway of life seems full of unappreciative people. That is, it seems crowded with criticism, and that is partially, even probably, because we face it, or let's face it, the road of life is difficult. It is at times peppered with doubts and despair, and at times demanding, trying, and inconveniently time-consuming. Sorry about that. Sorry to have to tell you that, but you know it. I think I might have stirred up some unpleasant things in your thoughts just by mentioning all of that. Pardon me, please, but it is the truth, isn't it? So in order for you to continue at your best, you must find strength and inspiration. And the good news is Emmanuel. He is with you, and his strength is available to be in you. Now, such is the truth for those who are servants of God. You find the inspiration in looking to the very real presence of God, Emmanuel. Even before the coming of Emmanuel, Jesus the Christ, the servants of God had a sense of inspiration instilled in them from God. The psalmist wrote, "It is God who gives me strength, who makes my pathway safe." And the word strength there means twisted together, the sense that God has become entwined with the writer. God becomes entwined with our lives. Indeed, Emmanuel, God with us, is a constant and ever-present inspiration for all of us who are the children of God. And finally, well, just finally for this message, because there's obviously much, much more, as life on earth comes to an end, the name Emmanuel, God with us, tells us that God is intimately present not only in all of the times of life, but also in the difficult time of death. Mm-hmm. Death. We don't even like to say that word. Death is cold. It's dreaded. Ultimately, though, it's universal. We're all going to be there. It is a deep, dark, uncertain mystery, and death is feared by many, even by some who think they know Jesus. At times, you know all too well, I tell you about the precious people that I have the privilege of carting around Carbondale in my senior adult van. And I never mean to invade their privacy, but sometimes one of my riders will provide me with a very appropriate illustration, and I can use it without revealing their identity. Just so was the case of a very elderly lady I used to take various places, one who liked to talk loudly. Well, I had her and another lady, a very devout Christian lady, on my van one day, and the older lady said very loudly that there were reasons why she thought she might not live much longer, and then went on to say how afraid she was of dying. Well, the Christian lady interrupted her and asked, but you said you're a follower of Jesus. How can you be afraid of dying if you know you're going to see him face to face? To which the older lady turned and said in a very loud voice to her, well, I just am. I'm scared of dying, and I stay up nights afraid of it. Well, that's not the end of the story, but it's a part of the story that's a very good illustration of the fact that death is a deep and dark and uncertain mystery, and it is feared by many. But the psalmist of long ago knew of the concept of Emmanuel, even though he had not seen Jesus as Emmanuel. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm going to let you guess which psalm that's from. When he said, you are with me, he was speaking to the great shepherd whom he had already called the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. There's only one light that will continue to burn through the valley of death, and it's God, who is light, and who said through his Son, I am the light of the world, and whose light darkness cannot comprehend. It is the Emmanuel, the God who is with us through the experience of death, that the Apostle John heard clearly as he wrote Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Indeed, Emmanuel, God with us, tells us that God is intimately present, not only in all the times of life, but also in the very difficult time of death. And praise God, beyond, to, and through eternity. Emmanuel, praise his holy name. God with us. God with us is the way and the only way God saves the sinner. Emmanuel is God with us, and knowing God as Emmanuel enabled him to be right there to comfort all who are distressed. And your consciousness of the name, of the truth of the name Emmanuel, knowing God is with you, serves as a constant and ever-present inspiration for all of us who are the children of God. And as we begin this Advent time, preparing ourselves in penitence, confessing and asking for forgiveness of our sins, anticipating the celebration of the first Christmas when God came to be Emmanuel with us right here on earth, I encourage you to make a priority of paying close attention for these 4 weeks to the several ways that God comes to truly be with us in Christ, in Emmanuel. And I must say, if there's anyone here today for whom this message about God being with you is a puzzle to you, It must be that you have never experienced the presence and power of Emmanuel, of Jesus Christ, in your life. And to you, if there is one here, I urgently say and I plead for your future, give your heart to Jesus right now, and you will have a brand new kind of Christmas. Your greatest Christmas ever, as you come to know the true meaning of the name Emmanuel, God with me.